President Bush met earlier today with King Abdullah of Jordan at the White House to discuss the situation in Iraq and the route to peace in the Middle East. The president repeated his support for establishment of a Palestinian state and for the Israeli withdrawal from Gaza and parts of the West Bank. Earlier this week, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon lost a referendum within his own Likud party for the plan to withdraw from Gaza and parts of the West Bank. Joining us now to talk about Middle East policy is Rashid Khalidi, the Edward Said Professor of Arab Studies and Literature at Columbia University. He's the author of the new book, Resurrecting Empire, Western Footprints and America's Perilous Path in the Middle East. He's with us by phone from his office in New York. Always good to speak with you.
A pleasure, Neil.
And also with us, David Makovsky, a senior fellow and director of the Project on Middle East Peace Process at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's with us by phone from the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in downtown Washington. And it's good to have you back on the program
as well. Good to be back with you, Neil.
David, first, let me ask you about the Likud vote on the proposed withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. Now that this earthquake has had a chance to settle down for a few days, was this defeat foreseeable?
Well, some told Sharon that he looked like he's going to lose, but I think the people closest to him told him, look, the media in Israel is more liberal. They're with you. You were at the White House. You had this achievement there. You know, it's in the bag. And he was outmaneuvered and out-organized by a group of motivated settlers from the West Bank who thought they were fighting for their homes, and they met with as many of the 193,000 members of the Likud voters as possible, and also elements that also kind of outmaneuvered Sharon were those who said Arafat is a terrorist and you were rewarding terrorism by unilaterally pulling out. And the combination of those two and the failure of Sharon to articulate a rationale about what I would say demographic self-interest, as well improving the lives of Palestinians, and to articulate that, you know, repeated time and time and time again, all that taken together, I think, just overwhelmed Sharon, and he lost.
Rashid Khalidi, as you look at the situation in terms of Israeli politics, clearly Mr. Sharon faces more difficulties than he anticipated.
Yes, he does. He apparently made the mistake of submitting this idea of his to a referendum which represented a tiny fraction of Israeli public opinion, and a fraction which, if the polls are correct, is not a representative one. Most Israelis have said that they want a withdrawal from most settlements. Most Israelis have said that they would accept a Palestinian state, and those views are not reflected in the segment of the Likud party membership that voted down this plan.
He thought that he could not go ahead without Likud. Well, where does he go now, David Makovsky?
Well, first of all, I want to say I agree with Rashid that I think that polls show 70% of Israelis want to get out of Gaza, and therefore I think the victory of the opponents is short-lived. There were two other times where there was splits inside the Likud, and it led to unintended results. They brought down Shamir after he went to Madrid. They brought down Netanyahu after he went to the Y River Agreement in 98, and now this. And it could lead, unless Sharon is able to fashion a more broad-based government and some of his junior coalition allies like Tommy Lapid of the Shinui Party can bring together a government, bringing together a big center, meaning the Israeli Labor Party, Shinui, and those elements of Likud that were supportive of Sharon. I fear the alternative is paralysis, and that I don't think is good news for Mr. Sharon. So whether they can fashion a realignment or a reconfiguration of the political forces, I think is going to be the test of Mr. Sharon in the weeks ahead.
We're speaking about what's next in the Middle East with Rashid Khalidi, director of the Middle East Institute at Columbia University, and with David Makovsky, a senior fellow and director of the Project on Middle East Peace Process at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Rashid Khalidi, where does this leave the Palestinians who were arguing that they didn't want a pullout either unless it was negotiated?
Well, the Palestinians have a problem, several problems. They have been treated as if they don't exist by the president and Sharon, who met and deliberated after lengthy negotiations between the two sides and came out with a position which contradicts a whole string of earlier administration positions going right back to President Johnson. Which argue that it is inadmissible to acquire territory by force. That's the cornerstone, or one of the cornerstones, of Security Council Resolution 242. And by calling illegal Israeli settlements realities and saying that this has to be the basis for going forward in the absence of the Palestinians, what the president and Prime Minister Shamir, Prime Minister
Sharon,
that was a Freudian slip, and Prime Minister Sharon have done, is to once again emphasize that the Palestinians are being excluded from the determination of their own fate. So they have a serious problem. They will have a serious problem when and if Sharon or another Israeli prime minister goes ahead with any other unilateral steps, because these are not things that are being done by agreement. These are not things that are being done as part of any kinds of understanding. Israel is just making decisions and getting the assent of the sole superpower, and when and if it does so, implementing them. So they face a difficult situation under any circumstances, because Israel has both been pounding their leadership and has now brought the Bush administration around to a position where it doesn't even recognize that they have a right to be at the table when vital issues are discussed.
Yet the Bush administration then went back to a mechanism that has been used, I guess, a few times over the past couple of years. That's the quartet, which represents the European Union, Russia, and the United Nations, as well as the United States, and appeared to, at least to some degree, backed off of the endorsement, or the blanket endorsement, of Mr. Sharon's pullout plan. Is the quartet the way forward? Is the roadmap in any way still alive? David Makovsky?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the quartet this week actually endorsed the pullout from Gaza and saw it was an important step forward. So instead of viewing it as like this Sharon-Bush alliance, you have this endorsement of the quartet, which I think is important. And I think, you know, we have this irony that we had all these plans, the Mitchell plan, the Zinni plan, the Tenet plan, the roadmap in its earlier phase, and it all was had the same idea of mutuality that quickly got mired into mutual recriminations. Ironically, the disengagement plan, if it would have been accepted this week, had the wouldn't have been predicated on Palestinian performance, and as such, it had a much more likelihood of actually coming into being. I think that you might have to go back to have coordination. I don't see right now that you have any major leaps forward, and I would just disagree with Rashid here in one moment in that, you know, the U.S. here didn't veer 180 degrees. Bill Clinton spoke about there would be blocks that near the 67 borders, there would have to be demographic changes. These were Bill Clinton's words. I saw what the president did as being consistent with what Clinton did and not veering off. But right now, I think things are stuck until there's a realignment in Israel. Maybe the quartet can be helpful, but I don't see any major leaps at this moment.
Rashid Khalidi, we have about a minute left. I guess you'll get the last word.
What Bill Clinton did was to say that in a situation where the Palestinians agreed, not mentioned by the president, and in a situation where there were territorial concessions by Israel, it might be possible to have modifications of the 1967 frontiers. That's an entirely different thing than what President Bush said. I really do think this is a very grave issue, because this is the basis of the American response to the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait back in 1991, the inadmissibility, the acquisition of territory by force. And it represents a serious, I think, shift by the United States.
And quickly on the way forward.
Well, on the way forward, the United States is going to have to accept that the Palestinians have the right to choose their own representatives and to sit down with them and to insist that the Israelis sit down with them. You're not going to have an agreement in the absence of the Palestinians.
Rashid Khalidi, thank you very much.
A pleasure.
Rashid Khalidi, Edward Said Professor of Arab Studies and Literature at Columbia University, author of the new book Resurrecting Empire, Western Footprints and America's Perilous Path in the Middle East. David Makovsky, as always, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, Neil.
David Makovsky is Senior Fellow and Director of the Project on the Middle East Peace Process at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. And again, King Abdullah of Jordan met with President Bush at the White House earlier today. Details and more on their meetings later today on All Things Considered. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.